At San Fernando, a sugar mill town in Pampanga province, the men were led to the train depot and assembled into groups of 100 alongside the narrow gauge tracks. The boxcars had baked all day in the sun, so that vaporous heat now rose off the sheeny metal in thick waves. The guards threw open the doors of the cars and gestured with their bayonets for the prisoners to climb inside. Tommy Thomas, the signal corpsman from Michigan, was the first in line, which he now realized was a bad place to be. When the guards brought the group to the San Fernando station, he had imagined that the prisoners would take a passenger train to wherever they were going, and he thought that if he could get on early enough, he might even find a seat. But once the string of tiny boxcars pulled up, he immediately saw his mistake. Somehow the guards expected 100 men to fit into each one of these rolling cells. When Thomas climbed up inside, the steady pressure of boarding bodies shoved him farther and farther away from the door into the stifling dead air. The car was not ventilated. It felt like a kiln. The Japanese kept pushing and prodding, cramming more and more men inside. When it no longer seemed possible that any more could fit, the guards brought over an additional dozen or so, tamping them in with their rifle butts. Then, with a long, hideous screech, the rusty doors slid shut behind them. In the pitch darkness, the men could hear the guards fastening the door with a padlock. For a few minutes, they just stood there, blinking. A terrific stench rose up. The body smells of 100 men mingled in a close miasma. Most of them hadn't bathed in weeks. Their bodies were sour with encrusted sweat, gangrenous wounds, and the suppuration of tropical ulcers. Many of them had dysentery, and when they lost control, which was often, they had no option but to defecate where they stood. Soon the plywood floor was splattered with the blood mucus diarrhea that is the classic symptom of the disease. Thomas recalled, "A guy next to me said, 'Sorry, fellas, I can't help it. I can't stand it. I've got cramps.' He was almost crying, begging. Then he started shitting all over everybody." The train snapped forward, and the journey began. It was 120 degrees Fahrenheit inside, maybe hotter. "I thought we were going to be roasted alive," Thomas said. He felt like he was suffocating. The ceiling was too low for a man of 6'4". He was stooped in his corner, listening to the moans and sibilances, the scraping and buckling sounds of the old train car, the sound of people vomiting. Men collapsed, but had nowhere to fall. The living, the semi-conscious, and the soon-to-be-dead all stood together in a press of diseased flesh. Then the chills began. Thomas recognized instantly that he was having a malarial attack. His teeth clacked and rattled just like the train. His legs lost all strength, but the pressure of the other bodies kept him upright, pinned against the hot metal skin of the boxcar. He had cerebral malaria, the doctors would later ascertain, Plasmodium falciparum, the strain that made men go out of their heads, and if left untreated, often resulted in death. Shivering in the dark, hovering on the brink of awareness, Thomas seemed to lose track of time. Finally, after several hours, the train came to a halt, and the door squeaked open. "It was one of the sweetest sounds I've ever heard," Thomas said. Everyone tried to force his way out at once. Thomas pushed toward the daylight glare and leaped to the ground, sucking in the fresh air. Then he peered back into the gloom of the train car. There were about a dozen men, including the man who had been standing next to Thomas, who never came out. Sprawled in pools of excrement, they had stopped breathing.